Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Food for Your Soul. I am your host, Evangelist White. Please go with me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, O gracious Lord, we just come before you on this morning, God, with just thanksgiving in our heart, Father God. I thank you for what already is starting to take place in the atmosphere, Lord God. I thank you for the shifting, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for directing our hearts and our minds, Lord God, to get in order and be in oneness with you, Father God. I just ask right now that you will touch each and every listener that has tuned in and the ones that will tune in, Father God, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, Lord God. Every prayer, Lord God, that has been petitioned up before you, if it be thy will, Lord God, I ask that you grant it. I just ask right now, Lord God, on today that you will grant my mouth, Father God, as well as Elder White, Lord God, on what to say and how to say, and give the people only what you would have us to say. We give you glory and honor that is due unto your holy name. It is in Jesus' sweet name that we pray. Amen and amen. Well, good morning, and thank you for tuning in with myself and Elder White on today. Good morning, Elder White.
Good morning, Evangelist.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm blessed. How
Amen.
Are you?
Amen. I am blessed, highly favored, on top and still rising.
Amen.
Amen. The message, the title that God has been giving us for the last couple of weeks has been in reference to order. And we are still dealing with order in the house of God, which I think is just phenomenal. And I got such amazing feedback from last week. So many people were going to be tuning in for this week to be able to hear it. But I just wanted to go over, we didn't even get to get through more than not even half of what God had given me. One of the first things that God had given me about order in the house of God was disorder comes into the house of God when the local church is not properly organized. And the second one that he gave was disorder comes into the house of God when the worship is not in spirit and in truth. And now, Elder, the third point that God had given me was disorder comes into the house of God when carnality and division exist. And when Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 3:3, it reads, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And Paul here was talking to the Corinthian church, but he is also talking to all the churches today. The warfare between flesh and spirit, these factions have destroyed the unity in the house of God. It also indicates that the believers are not walking by the spirit, but we're allowing the flesh to direct our behavior.
Amen.
What do you say about that, Elder?
Well, it definitely is when you have that, when you have carnality, and I think where it really comes a issue when it comes to disorder is when you have carnal-minded leaders.
So if they don't have the Holy Ghost and they just operating in flesh, which happens?
Right. Of course, you know, we can't even address the Holy Ghost because you have to address now the mindset.
Mm.
You know, the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life.
Yes.
And to be carnal minded is death.
Yes.
And what has happened so much today is that we have had somehow or another, we have leaders that have kind of gotten to these positions for whatever the reason is, but they are carnal, you know, in their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, worldly. You know, they want to go by the world concept of doing things, and you can't go by the world concept. You got to go by God's concept. You got to be led by the Spirit of God, and you can't have confidence in your wisdom or in your flesh or in your abilities. And that's one of the things that has to take place in so many of our people. It's one thing to know that you have lay members that are carnal-minded.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But when you have leaders
mm-hmm.
that are dealing, that's, you're going to have a lot of disorder.
And, you know, Elder, that is so true. I was, when you said somehow or another they're getting in, I just, you know, I always say the devil can't just come in. Someone has to open up the door as well and let him in. The same thing with leaders. They don't just get into the position. But what I've often seen in churches is that we get so desperate that we want to start elevating people and start putting people in position. And what happens is we don't take the time to really labor. We don't take the time to help them get delivered. We don't take the time to teach them, yeah, equip them. We don't take the time to help them cultivate the gifts within. So what happens is the house of God has become like a circus, yeah, you know, because we're so busy counting them numbers. And we want to be able to say, I got 5 evangelists, and I got 3 such and such. And instead of looking at the soul, I'm not saying that those that are in leadership should not be. What I'm saying is what happens is leadership, as I was reading in Ephesians 4 and 11, when God called some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, that was for the equipping of the ministry. And so that's because there's those that are coming in. The church is supposed to be like a hospital. And you know, there's doctors and then there's nurses and so forth. And when leadership is just as sick as the congregation, then, you know, I've never seen, you know, it's like the blind leading the blind.
Amen.
And so what we continue to have is a sick church, and nobody ever gets well, nobody ever gets healthy, because now leadership has realized that, oh, we might have put some people in position. And what I've also noticed, Elder, is that we don't take the time to say, you know what, let me raise my hand, I was wrong about this, come here, my brother or my sister, I might need to sit you down for a little bit. Not that God has not called you, but things need to get cultivated and brought into fruition. Instead, we continue to allow, almost like this Tasmanian devil, to continue to work and operate in the house of God, knowingly.
Yeah. You know, and that's so true. And, you know, a house divided against itself, you know, it just will not stand.
Okay.
And, you know, so what's happening is that we have a form of godliness,
yes,
but we have no power. And, you know, deliverance cannot come in, and God cannot operate the way he needs to operate, because there is no acknowledging of people being healed and delivered from the sicknesses that they have. Because we, as leaders, need to be able to be spiritually led, to be able to help people be delivered from the issues that they have.
Amen.
But if you're carnal-minded, then, you know, it's going to be hard for you to see that. And it's what the devil really is doing today in our churches.
Okay.
In mass numbers, because we have so many things that we want to do in ministry, you
yes.
know, as, you know, as far as advancing. And what we're doing is instead of being led by God, we're being led by worldly wisdom, and that's just a very dangerous thing to do.
Elder, I want to ask you something. You were speaking about advancing. I you know, I'm so old school, so I just have a question.
Okay.
Are we advancing for the kingdom building, or are we advancing for man building? You know, when we advance, I believe, for kingdom building, it's supposed to be because we are preaching the good news. We are doing exactly what the Word of God says.
Right.
We are supposed to help those that are in bondage. We are supposed to help free those that are in captivity. We are supposed to speak this word in season, not a season. But what I see is we're doing a lot of building in the house of God.
Right.
But we're not building the saints. We're trying to build the building.
Right.
We're trying to add so much to it, to so much glamour to the eyes. Come on in here. We got this great youth. We got this great education. We have all this, you know, but we're not building the saints. And if we were, the church house would be filled. And if we were, there wouldn't be so much of what we're reading right here, disorder comes in the house of God, when carnality and division exists. And, you know, I wanted to just give the definitions of what 1 Corinthians 3 and 3 was speaking about. But before I go into that, I asked you that question. Do you see that a lot of the advancements that we are doing in the house of God, and let me not say we, I'm going to say that many are doing in the house of God, it's not all building for the kingdom of God. It's I feel like it's building for man-made things.
And I think a lot of it is, but I'm not going to say all of it is. I do believe that, you know, we do have a remnant of churches and men and women of God that is standing and doing what's right. I believe we are.
Amen.
You know, so I believe that there are others. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, you don't get that that information has something that is put out there across the airwaves or across your television sets. We only really hear the negative so much, you
That's
know.
So true.
And we have to understand that we are in the world, but we are not of the world.
Amen.
So the world is if you're looking at the world to give you the real deal of what the kingdom is doing,
exactly.
you might not get that information from the world. So, you know, it's important that we have to be praying.
Yes.
For our churches,
yes.
And for
leaders.
The work of the kingdom, because
yes.
God is still in control of this.
Yes, He is.
He's still in control. He's not mocked. There's nothing, you know what I'm saying, that is not in the Word that says that, you know, that these are not things that's going to happen in the last days.
So there's nothing that's going on now that is even surprising God. Mm-hmm. He already knows.
You know, the Bible says if you're not careful that even the elect will be fooled.
The very elect
will be deceived.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's nothing. It's what's important is that we individually recognize and know God for ourselves.
That's right.
That's very important that, you know, that we educate and teach people to have a personal relationship with God.
Amen.
And how to be able to deal with things that they are seeing.
Amen.
Because we walk by faith, not by sight. And it's important that saints learn how to deal with the things that they see. The Bible says that, you know, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yes.
But against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
So it is important that we know how to rightfully discern.
Mm. Something about that discerning, right, Elder White? Rightfully.
We have to individually be able to rightfully discern
yes.
what we are actually looking at and seeing and being able to bring those things subject to the Word of God. But if you ain't got the Word in you, and if you don't have a real relationship with the Lord,
yeah.
You're going to be fooled. You're going
right.
you're going to think that, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
that God is losing the battle,
mm-hmm.
and He's not.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's really good. I wanted to give the definition, though, of envy, strife, and division. Envy is a feeling of discontent or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, gifts, anointing, talents. Strife is anger or bitter disagreement over fundamental issues. And division is producing tension or hostility. And, you know, Elder, I just sometimes wish that leadership would recognize when they're operating in any of this and go to the altar instead of trying to work the altar for the other people.
Yeah.
Don't minister to me the same thing that's in you. I believe the Bible says, you know, remove the beam out of your eye, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, we get in a position and we just feel like we are untouchable. I go to the altar still. I may not necessarily do it in the house of God because I'm convicted enough in my own house to do it before I get there, but I know how to go to the altar and tell God, oh, I'm dealing with this or I'm messing with this, and I just realized that, you know, it's so sad to see that I see a lot of hurting in the house of God, and I don't know why God is directing me that way, but, you know, I don't think people intentionally want to be mean and ugly and nasty, but we have so much inside of us. See, we recognize that pretty hat, and we can recognize that bad suit, but we can't recognize that pain and hurt on the inside. And what we do is we try to put a facade up like everything is okay.
Yeah.
And we never really open up ourselves. We never really have a real altar call. And if anybody finds out that I'm not really who I say or portray that I am, God forbid, but who cares if man finds out when God sees all?
That's right.
So there's a calling, I believe, in order of the church for those of us that are in leadership You know, if you don't want to be exposed in front of everybody, I really encourage you to go before God alone then.
Amen.
And get that thing right instead of bringing that continuously every Sunday, Wednesday, every month, every year to the house of God.
Amen. And that's so true. And there's different ways that leadership can deal with, you know, the issues that they have.
Amen.
You know, yeah, you can go to God, you know, on your own.
Yes.
There is also other leaders, you know, that you can get with. And, you know, it had some kind of leaders meeting where there's praying going for, you know.
Amen.
I believe when corporate prayer happens, you know, and we're initiating a corporate prayer.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, God can deal with a lot of those issues during corporate prayer, when we come together and we are bearing one another up, and when we're really praying, and if you know, and if it's under the anointing and God is directing it, you know, I've seen where a lot of leaders and different ones were delivered during corporate prayer.
Yes.
There's so many different things that God makes available for people in leadership to address their issues and their deep.
They just have to be open to receive it, right, Elder?
Amen. 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 We all do.
Amen.
We all got issues.
Oh, Jesus. Don't you be on the phone telling my business.
And I think that's one of the things that, you know, you'll see from leaders who really are under, you know, they're humble to the point where they let you know that, you know, don't put your eyes on me.
Yes.
You know, because I be standing in the need of prayer just
yes,
like you.
Yes, yes.
You understand? Yes. I've just been called, and I'm operating in obedience to what God has called me to do.
That's right.
But I still struggle, too.
That's right.
I still got things that I got to make sure that I keep on the cross.
That's right.
I still got, you know, some things inside of me that I have to deal with as well.
Yes.
So we don't want to come across as though, you know, we are hit wonder. You know.
Oh, well, I beg to differ, Elder. I think many people who are listening, they done got my book. We know evangelists ain't no hit wonder. But one thing I am is I'm serious, and I'm so passionate about the house of God and the order and direction that we're supposed to go. And, you know, my prayer is that we all truly get saved and delivered, healed and sealed. That I feel it in my spirit, like, on tomorrow, I'm so excited. I know we sometimes want to enjoy the weekend, but I am anticipating tomorrow to be such a high time, not just in the church that we attend, which is Blessed Life, but also churches all across the board.
Amen.
I'm just believing God is going to do something mightily in the lives of his people.
Amen.
So, amen. The other thing that God gave me was disorder comes into the house of God when the focus changes from what pleases God to what pleases me. And he gave me 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Oh, I believe I'm about to go down somebody's street and knock on some doors, Elder. There was a time when the Word of God was being preached. There was not a whole lot of joking, playing. There was seriousness about the Word of God being taught. And there was a reverence and an admiration that was given unto God. Now I have witnessed in some churches, we want to spice up the worship. We want to have a real bad beat, same beat that's in that world. We want to bring it into the house of God and put Jesus on it. It won't glorify God. It will glorify man. But we have become such a sometimes church that we don't want to bore the people. We don't want to do too much routine. We don't want to make it too dull. And so we're thinking of all these different things to do in the house of God instead of just bringing the word.
Yeah.
We have shortened the services because, God forbid, people get tired of hearing the word of God. So now we shorten our messages and we tell some jokes. And because we want the people to feel good,
We give them a good pep talk, and then we continue to make them feel good instead of allowing God's word to saturate them and preaching to glorify him. We are so concerned about our amen corner than we rather be in agreement with man than being in order with God.
And that just comes back to the carnal-minded leadership of that particular house, or, you know, when because it's the anointing that makes the difference.
Yes.
And it is important that, you know, that we focus on preaching Christ and him crucified.
That's right.
Because that's the only thing that is going to save you.
That's right.
And that is the only thing that is going to empower you to be able to deal with, you know, the issues that people have to face in the world. So and the thing about it is that, you know, we know that this type of worldly, you know, because we came out of the world.
That's right. Yes, Lord.
You know, and I don't think that we came out of the world only to go into a church to be entertained. I think people are really looking for something real.
Authentic, yeah.
And authentic. And we have to give it to them. But you have to be led by the Spirit and God
right.
and give leadership, you know, exactly what the folks that he sent there needs.
Yeah.
He'll give it to them. And
you know, I know one of your preachers that you love is the late G.E. Patterson. And I remember hearing him preach a message where he said, you know, now that I'm older, I don't care about you squirming in your seat, looking at your watch. I'm going to preach this word and give it to you. And, it, you know, and for him to say that, I know that it's, you know, we do, as we're young, we're so busy trying to please the people opposed to giving them what God is telling us to do. So we try to throw a little joke for an icebreaker. We try to make you feel real good and, you know, speak a prophecy into your life. I'm just, you know, Elder, I'm being honest. And
well, I like a little icebreaker, you know, sometimes. But it shouldn't be the basis of my message.
Amen.
And I think that, you know, that some things, you know, if it's being God led, you know, I've seen some things work.
Amen.
But I think that when you base your whole thing, your whole message
Amen.
On, you know, I've been in places where we don't even read scripture.
Mm.
We're so busy paraphrasing and
yes.
not really getting people to open up their Bibles
yes.
and to be able to read the scripture.
Yes.
And I think that what a lot of times we do, not we, but those who are carnal minded and really are not being spiritually led, you underestimate the power of the
yes,
Word of God. There's power in the Word of
yes,
God.
There is.
There's deliverance in the Word. There's
yes.
healing
yes.
in the Word of God.
Yes.
And all you have to do is preach
mm-hmm.
the unadulterated word of God,
Amen.
And it will do
exactly
what it needs to do.
Yes.
You don't have to add any antics to it.
Yes.
You ain't got to take away nothing from it.
Yes.
And you just need to stay out of the way and be used as an oracle of God
yes.
and just say what thus saith the Lord. And it will bring deliverance to the house of God. It will save souls. It's not us that do it.
That's right.
It's
God.
It's God.
That's right.
And once we get that concept and understand that, you know what, that the Word of God is prophetic.
Yes.
That it already has a DNA formula
yes.
that if you just speak it, that it will hit the hearts of people and it will convict something on the inside. Because
that's
the
right.
Bible says that's what the Word of God is. It's quick, powerful, and sharper
than any two-edged sword,
piercing mm-hmm. even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit,
mm.
of the joint and marrow,
yes.
and is the discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. You don't have to do nothing but preach the word.
That's right.
And it is your belief in the word that you will be a light that's going to shine in the hearts of other people that are still in darkness.
Amen. And Elder, you know, I want to make sure that I'm not saying, you know, don't do worship and praise and, you know, have your program and stuff. That's all the entertainment though right there. You know, when we do all that worshiping and praise, yeah, we're worshiping God and everything, but a lot of it, you know, we're doing the entertainment. We're getting the people, we're getting them. But when it comes time for the word, I mean, it's something about reading that word, and every time you read it, God can give you a different revelation. But if we always go in self and we never truly open up that word, see, my mouth won't convict you. My words that come out my mouth won't do nothing. But when I read the word of God and he allows this instrument to be utilized, that's power that comes from there. And so I guess maybe I'm just looking for a little bit more seriousness.
Amen.
In the house of God. I know I have an old soul, and I know, you know, we do things differently, but all I'm saying is if we can just, you know, come, you know, just slim back a little bit on trying to make folks laugh.
And I think it just comes with really teaching.
Amen.
Which a lot of churches and has fell away from.
Yes.
We fell away from just teaching the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people are ignorant to so many things. We assume that thing people know.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
We have to get back to really teaching the word of God. And the reason why a lot of things are creeping into the church today is because of that. Because we have unlearned leaders, or we have fearful leaders that are afraid of really saying what thus saith the Lord, out of fear of losing folk. And you won't lose them if it's done under the anointing, and if you do it and you're spiritually led, I think people will really come to appreciate that.
You know, that's good, Elder. I was remembering the other day we were talking, I believe you were saying about, we were just in reference saying, you were talking about how everything the world does.
It really bothers me that we don't have originality.
Mm.
And God is the original.
And give us some examples, too.
Well, you know, the world come out with American Idol.
And what we got, Elder?
We got Sunday's Best.
Oh, Jesus.
We got the same three judges.
Uh-huh.
We got the, you know, the individual that's standing up there hosting.
Yes.
We got someone trying to be like Simon.
Yes.
You understand.
Okay.
The world come out with Basketball Wives, Housewives of Atlanta.
What we have now?
We come out with Preachers of L.A.
Jesus.
We come out with Preachers of Detroit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Preacher's Daughters.
Okay.
The same concept of
yes.
The world. No originality.
None.
And I'll be honest with you. If I'm going to watch something like that and I need to be entertained by that, I'm going to watch the world.
Right.
You know, why would I want to watch the church mimic what the world is doing?
Come on.
On a smaller scale.
Jesus.
You see, but if we go back to God, and that's why we're losing so many in the world.
Yes.
You know, because we are doing and following after everything that the world is doing, and the world is seeing it. So why would the world want to come to the church only to see on a smaller scale what they are doing on a larger scale than the church is mimicking?
That's right.
And it does bother me.
Yes.
And you know that all this junk that we're feeding and doing and entertaining, and now we got, you know, someone coming into the church wanting to be Nene.
Oh,
huh? They want to look like them. They want to act
on.
Like them.
We wearing our stilettos. Ooh, don't let me get
wanna,
there.
And they want to talk
Jesus.
Like them. And we see this junk in the church today.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
And it is because of the church not standing up and showing the world the originality of God.
That was good. Elder, we, once again, we're going to have to do a part three because it is time. This word is so tight, but it's so right and it's so needed. And it's like 30 minutes just does not do justice. But my prayer is that those who tune in and listen, that you really hear what God is trying to say. He's calling for order.
Amen.
He's really calling for order, and he's calling for accountability. And those who we are reaching cannot say they did not know.
Amen.
Because God has given it to us, not just for you all, but it always comes to the preacher first. And I'm in awe that the time is out. But Elder White, I want to thank you again for tuning in.
Man, glad to be here.
I want to thank everyone that tuned in for Food for Your Soul. If God says the same, we'll be here again next week, March 21st at 7 a.m. If nobody else tells you,
God loves you, and so do we. I am praying for a high time in the Lord on tomorrow for each and every one of your churches. God bless, and we love you so much.